Hello, my name is Edwin.
What up, y'all? This is still Jeff.
And this is still Frantic. Welcome to Tilted Not Stirred, everyone. After our very, very short, hiatus. Yeah, woo.
You just hate us because you ain't hiatus. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Nah.
Mm-hmm. But yes, we are back.
And better than ever.
And just about the same. But you know what? We have... I don't know. After a break, usually folks feel a little more energized to get back into it. And, you know, we got a lot to talk about today, which is, you know, a big bonus.
I actually miss talking to you guys. I mean, we don't usually talk as much nowadays. And it's one of these things that our pod is one of our... You know, things that gets us all together.
Yeah, we're not actually friends in real life. We're actually just podcast friends.
Contractual obligations, you know.
Yeah. No, we're really good friends. It's just like, we don't really talk on the day-to-day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was good to have that once a week where we can sit down and actually have a conversation with each other.
A friend of mine actually called me because we haven't released an episode for him to listen to.
I got that same phone call.
So yeah, he was just like, what is going on with you guys? And I was like, oh, okay.
We've quit. You know.
Yep. This is our last episode, guys. Cue the awe sound.
Damn. There you go.
Psych! All right. We still do that.
What have you guys been up to? Like, it has been... Quite
basically a month, yeah.
It has been a lot of degenerate gaming for no reason. I'm playing a dead game, and I'm playing a lot of it.
Okay, nice.
Okay, cool, yeah. Cool. I don't know if you guys remember, but last episode, a long time ago now, I talked about going to a Syrian wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, I've fallen in love with the music so much that I actually listen to Arabic music now while I work out.
All right.
No reason at all.
That's incredible.
So I'm just there jamming out. Like, I don't know what they're saying, but this is cool. And, you know, I'm not a stranger to listening to music that I have no idea what they're saying, because I used to listen to a ton of K-pop as well. I've almost considered, like, maybe I should start learning a little bit of Arabic just to, you know, just to get into it a little bit more, you know, take it the extra step. But then I look at the way that they write, and it's like, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, it's completely foreign to...
Which, yeah, I mean...
It's over.
Which, I mean, Korean in itself is already, like, you know, I had to learn a whole new alphabet and, like, a whole new way of writing, so... But... I don't know. Maybe if I looked up a little bit just to see, you know, what the letters look like, maybe it'll start looking like more than just like squigglies on a page. So
a lot of their words we borrowed. So a lot of like Arabic words, the word for rice, arroz, comes from Arabic.
No way.
Yeah, really? There's like a lot of Arabic words that Spanish has borrowed, and we have like a lot of overlap. I don't remember what the Arabic word for rice is, but it's something like ros or arro or some shit. It's one of the makings of the word arroz is the word rice.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool.
I mean, it's one of the oldest languages, right? Or how does that work?
I don't even know. Oh. I wouldn't be able to tell you, but...
I feel like, I mean, this is like maybe completely uneducated, and this is just a guess. I would think Arabic and like maybe Chinese are some of the oldest languages in the world.
I would think Greek is up there.
Ah, yes, as well. For that's sure. Good. Yeah.
And I guess Egyptian? Is their language just Arabic?
What did they speak in Rome?
Latin.
Latin?
Okay, so then, so, okay, yeah. Well, yeah, so that's been kind of interesting in my life since our last episode.
That's pretty interesting. I definitely, that's cool.
Unexpected, perhaps?
Heck yeah, 100%.
Yeah, another thing that has happened since we've been gone is I had a huge presentation at work, and we basically got roasted, which was nice.
What do you mean?
Basically, we had like over a month period, we had this thing called the Media Mastery, where our like one of the head honchos, since he's a professor at a university, he basically was giving a class for just like media planning in general and strategy. And so we had to create a presentation and a deck for Dove and Dove Men Plus Care. And so we had to present our whole ass media plan and strategy and all that stuff. And we basically got roasted. We're the very last group. We're like, oh God, like we just want to get this over with. And we got roasted over very little things, like right in front of like the rest of the agency and in front of like all the different like department leads and like all the other bosses. It was very interesting. But other than that, life's been great, man.
Who roasted it's been you? Great. Was it the students?
All the different. Because there was a panel of judges, and they're all also happened to be like the VPs and the directors of the different departments. Because we're an ad agency, and so we have like all the different departments. Like we have like search. We have just like media planning, strategy. We have local and national video. Like we have a lot of different departments basically, and the judges are comprised of that, and they all gave feedback. And I don't know if it was because it was Friday and they just didn't have time anymore, but all the other groups basically got a lot of like it's called like a praise sandwich, right? Like the like what managers do, or like they first give you a compliment, and then they give you like some feedback of what you can improve on, and then they'll finish off with a compliment again and some praise, and then, you know, bam, we have a sandwich. They just went straight to roasting the entire time. It's like, okay.
Damn, they just didn't give you the bread?
They didn't give us the bread. They just gave us the meat, like nice and raw.
That's how every cooking show goes, right, Jeff? Like every cooking competition does the praise sandwich.
Yep, they go, oh, I thought it was lovely, I thought it was immaculate, but tad undercooked.
It tastes like shit, but
overall, I think you did a fantastic job.
There you go.
Damn. Okay, so was this like a bid presentation? Something like, hey, this is what we would do for Dove Plus
Men Care. Dove and Dove Men Plus Care, yeah.
This is what we would do for them.
Correct.
And then they would decide whether or not they would go ahead with this like, oh, you know, like, oh, we have something good here, as advertising would go,
right,
for this company. Let's go offer this service.
Yeah, so basically it was like, okay, I'll just give the budgets, I guess. For Dove, we had $60 million, and then for Dove Men Plus Care, we had $100 million. And then basically it's like, here's some money. Do something. What would you do with this money to increase our market share of mind and, you know, customer acquisition, et cetera, et cetera. Like, it was a whole debrief of, like, all the things that they wanted for us to do. And so they just said, here's the money. What would you do with it?
Obviously, you allocated, like, a cool million for us to sponsor them, right, on the podcast?
Yeah. Basically, I said in my presentation, I said, well, there's this really cool podcast, Tilted Not Stirred, that would be great for Dove Men Plus Care audiences.
Yeah, and they have a thin veil of masculinity going on. And I think
very thin.
I think that a men's product would definitely boost their morale.
Yeah, so it was overall a very cool experience. I didn't think that I would still have homework and presentations and stuff to do, like as if I was still in college. But overall, it was a cool experience. It was a cool, despite all the negativity and stuff. I'm fine with like negative reinforcement. So like having like the head honcho roasting us and stuff was cool, because it's like, okay, like I'd rather learn from mistakes than like being perfect. And so I just didn't expect like to get so roasted over like super small petty things, because they didn't even disagree with our strategies. It was just like a bunch of small little selling things, basically. But I feel like I've gone long enough about work. I don't want to talk about work. Let's go ahead and...
Hold on. I didn't say what I've been up to.
And let's go ahead and listen to what Edwin's been up to.
I celebrated my anniversary in Vegas.
Wow. And congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, congrats to both of you.
Wow.
It was a really good time.
Wow, another year down, huh? I'm just playing.
So, we actually... Okay, so one of the very first things we did in Vegas was to go to Momofuku, which is like
David Fuck Chang's, you say to me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That means Lucky Peach. So
fuck you say to me, man. Yeah.
He actually opened a chicken restaurant to be an affront to Americans, saying like Asians can cook fried chicken, and he called it Fuku, so fuck you. And I was that was like his thing. It didn't last very long, but I think there's still some around. But anyways, we went to Momofuku, and it has been, I've been wanting to go to this restaurant for a very, very long time. And I went to Mayordomo, which is in LA, but this one was in Vegas, and I was excited. We went. Mm-hmm. That shit was dank. It was really, really good, right? And David Chang, when he was working, when he's trying to make it in his Momofuku in New York, he had a worker with him that her name is Christina Tosi. She specialized in desserts. So she told David Chang, let me serve my ice cream after a fancy dinner. And he was just like, what the fuck? This is a stupid idea. And Oof. Then they eventually went through and they did it, and everything worked out. And Christina Tosi essentially saved David Chang from losing his entire business. So what David Chang does is he then presents Christina Tosi with her own restaurant that is sponsored by Momofuku, his actual restaurant, right? And she calls it Milk, because one of her main attractions, what made her so prominent, was a cereal milk based ice cream. So damn, Momofuku,
that sounds good.
All of that background, just to say that Milk is right next to Momofuku in Las Vegas. So I was
gotcha
in it, dude. I was like, let's fucking go. And I was so disappointed by Milk. Holy shit.
Oh, damn. All that build up. I thought this was gonna be the greatest thing you've ever tasted, dude.
Oh no. Not like this.
That shit, I didn't even know it was possible to have that much salt in ice cream.
Oh, bruh.
I disgusting. Didn't know. Bruh. Yeah.
Dude, I totally thought this was like a success story.
Yeah, and like, damn, I just had the best food, the best time.
So you never had salted caramel ice cream?
The thing is, this is cereal milk ice cream. I tried her tried and true. I had cereal milk, and I had chocolate cereal milk, right?
Okay.
I wanted to try her...
The classics?
Tried and true, her classics, mm-hmm. You know, and I was just like, let's do the basics. And what she does with the cereal milk portion of the ice cream is you're having corn flakes, right?
Okay.
And that's her cereal milk base, right?
Not even frosted flakes?
No, the corn flakes are salted though, right?
Salted corn flakes. All
I've
right.
never they're had salted corn flakes.
They're salted corn flakes, and they add this insane salt to the ice cream, and that was like I had a cookie that was cereal milk inspired, right? And it was so fucking salty, like I needed water. My tongue hurt after eating.
Maybe you just got a bad scoop, man.
I don't know, dude. Maybe I did, but
was the chocolate one better, or is it still salty?
It was too salty. It was so salty. Damn.
Maybe you brought your own salt that day, Edwin.
And then that same day, let me tell you guys, that same day, we went to go see the Mind Freak himself, Chris Angel.
No way.
So I wasn't hyped on this, right? Denise was. This was like all, she really wanted to go see it. So I was like, dude, I'll bite. Let's go. Like, this is one of the things you want to do out here. Let's go do it. Mm-hmm. And God damn it paid off. So all of the advertisement for Mind Freak is his 2007 self. He has abs. He looks hot. He's edgy. Fuck yeah. Fucking show starts. And we got a fat ass version of him.
Oh my God.
Come off the stage. And I realize, holy shit. 2007 was a long time ago. And
yes, it was.
And he's doing all his most famous stunts. And that shit was laughable. But it was so funny to me. I got insane joy out of it. Because he's doing his most famous stunts, which involve him being floating through the air, you know, fucking flying or whatever the fuck. Mm-hmm. But he's so fat that every time he's like face down, he gets super fucking skinny. And that shit is glorious. Like, he's doing some flying tricks with this jacket that is insanely huge. It's a fucking harness, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's like laying face down, looking at the ground while flying. And he's the skinniest he's ever fucking looked that entire time. And then he goes back upright and he's fat as fuck again. So that shit was hilarious. We went to go see Cirque du Soleil. A fucking...
Damn, y'all actually went out there and did stuff.
Yeah.
Cirque I feel like whenever Soleil. I go to Vegas, I barely, like, it's always just kind of like, you know, walking around with drinks in our hands and then, like, you know, gambling. But, like, you're actually out there
going to
all the different events. And shows.
Vegas, like, I'm not a partier. You know, I'm not a partier. Mm-hmm. So, like, that shit is not me, right? I wanted to go to Vegas for the Vegas. There's so much cool shit in Vegas, but a lot of people go to Vegas to get drunk and get fucked up and go to clubs and stuff. And that in itself takes so much time that if you were not to do that, there's so much other shit you could do, right? Mm. So we went to Cirque du Soleil, and that shit was beautiful. Like, I teared up at the fact halfway through that shit was going to be over. That's how beautiful it was.
Wow, that is... big praise.
Yeah. We went to the Coca-Cola store and we had a flight of all of their international products. That was an eye-opening experience on itself.
Did you try the new Bleach Coke that was only exclusive to Japan?
What? Oh, wait. No, it wasn't exclusive to Japan. Isn't it here?
I don't know. I've never seen. I only saw it once and that was on a Chugs video, on a Badlands Chugs. He chugged six of them.
I think they do sell it here.
Oh, shit. We got another flaming hot Mountain Dew on our hands.
So I had a Coke product from Tanzania. It was called Stonia Tamgawizi. And it has... I reviewed all of these, by the way. These were crazy. There was a apple pear one from Germany. That shit was great. Fanta pineapple from Greece. That was like our pineapple soda here, but less sweeter, and it made it even better. A watermelon drink from the Philippines that was fucking great. Jamaica drink from Mexico. That shit was great. Fanta Colita, that was not good, from Costa Rica. It tastes like that sweet bubblegum flavoring that you put on the raspado, the blue one.
Damn. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. A strawberry drink from Panama that was fucking great. They have one called Thumbs Up in India that tastes like Coke but has a caramel aftertaste. That shit was pretty great. A Beverly drink in Italy that has... When you think of a grapefruit and you think, what are the most offensive parts of the grapefruit?
That one video you showed us?
The most offensive parts of a grapefruit? What does that even mean?
Well, the taste. The taste. What is it that gets people not liking... People who don't like grapefruit, why don't they like it, right?
Oh, okay.
And it's that... Like... That bitterness that comes from the grapefruit that almost tastes like bile.
Okay.
So it's that was the drink, essentially.
You asked what was the most offensive parts of a grapefruit, and I was trying to imagine a grapefruit was like if I had to pick a fight with a grapefruit, what would it be for? Like, this fucking grapefruit looking ass. Like, I didn't even know. I was like trying to figure out how to be angry at a grapefruit.
In Russia, they sell this thing called Sprite Cucumber. That's really fucking good. Aquarius from Spain. It tastes like citrus Pedialyte. That was kind of gross. Phantom Melon Frosty from Thailand was a 10 out of 10 and the only 10 out of 10 I gave out. That shit was great. Mm. Inca Cola, I don't know if you've ever had it, but from Peru. It tastes like the chicle flavoring I mentioned again.
Why?
And a sour plum. Okay, the last one is why I'm sharing this list with you guys. The Fanta Sour Plum from China. Taste like the McRib barbecue sauce.
A McRib in liquid form?
Yes. And I was so repulsed and at the same time impressed that this whole fucking time you guys have been torturing me with McRibs, blah, blah, blah. And I go to Las Vegas and I go try this fucking random soda from China. And that shit tastes like the McRib. That was the most disgusting thing
I've ever. Beautiful.
2 out of 10. Fuck that soda. But yeah, I went to Guy Fieri's restaurant. That shit was cool. Went to the Bodies exhibit on Halloween. Y'all know the Bodies exhibit, right?
That's something I've been wanting to do. It's where they're showing like all the insides of stuff, right? Of humans.
Yeah, they pretty much got skinned humans there and cut in various ways, and there. I mean, it was cool, but I also was just like, So we went to the body exhibit, and then we went to the wax museum, Madame Tussauds, where my Lord and Savior. The goddess Fergie had a statue, and I was really excited. Yeah, that's enough about Vegas. And at work, I did my very first prescribed burn. That shit was cool as fuck. I got paid to burn shit.
Hell yeah.
Paid arsonist.
Usually we want to avoid that kind of stuff, but you're getting paid to do it. So
yeah,
this was I think we talked about this on a podcast way back, right? About burning stuff on purpose to stop future uncontrolled stuff.
Exactly. That's 100% what it is. It's for forest health. You do it so that you pretty much thin out and manicure the forest so that catastrophic fires don't come and sweep through it. But yeah. That's what I've been up to. Oh, and a lot of Marvel Snap. That's a good game. That's a really good game.
I've been getting advertisement for it on YouTube, and I'm undecided.
So it essentially... Do you guys remember Gwent?
Yes.
Yes.
It's just Gwent. 100, just Gwent. Good old Gwent.
So why not just play Gwent?
You know what? I don't know why I never played Gwent. So, yeah. It's pretty cool.
All right. Well,
that intro.
Oh, we haven't even played that. Yeah, oh God.
Longest intro to date.
Okay, well, shit.
Yep. Y'all gotta play the intro before I get to start talking.
I was going to, but then you're like, well, what about me, guys?
Yeah, yeah, you, yeah. And we respect the time, you know? We gotta give everyone equal chance to talk.
Hey, guys, this is Tilted Not Stirred. Keep it locked.
All right, before we continue, I'd like to update the public on my McRib total, which I'm disappointed to say is only 5.
I mean, what about yours, Frantic?
Sorry, guys, I disappointed you.
What do you have to say for yourself, Frantic?
Moving on.
No McRib total?
You had one.
I had one.
Just one?
That's one.
That's good. That's a respectable
number. I had the one, and
I had 5 in a 3-day span, and I'm pretty good for a bit.
Yeah, I had the one that I posted, and then I just haven't really found myself at a McDonald's again.
Well, I had 2 that day I posted the picture, and then the next day at Vince's party, I had 1. And then Ceci gave me 2 as I was leaving, because she didn't want them there, and I ate those 2 for breakfast the next day.
Damn, breakfast of champions. Nope. Man, so many things have happened since we've been gone. Like, just in sports alone. What do we got? We got the Astros winning the World Series, which, it is what it is.
Hopefully, this was a clean championship because they did play well, and I'm happy for the manager Dusty Baker, former Dodger, hadn't won a World Series since '81, so congrats to him, co-inventor of the high five, for those who don't know.
Co-inventor of the high five.
How did that happen?
Holy shit. What a fucking legend.
What was the scenario? How did this happen? What this momentous occasion? What transpired?
So from the looks of the picture, because I didn't read the article, he had just gotten home. He had either scored the run or driven in a run. And he's coming in and his teammate has his arms raised. So he raises his arm back and, you know, they high five.
Accidentally or full purpose? Were they like walking with their hands up?
No, they're like
coming
at each other.
Spur of the moment.
Yeah, they're coming at each other. So what I learned was that the lo-fi was a very popular trend in the African American community. So I guess they just decided to change it up that day and went for the high one.
Hell yeah, dude.
Can you imagine? Like, for us, it just seems like such a commonplace thing. Yeah. And then for the first people to do it, everyone's just like, what? Why would they touch hands in the air?
What is going on here?
Yeah. Because I'm sure what else was there? I mean, was a fist bump already a thing?
I don't know.
Because I know, like, shaking hands would be a reason why people would touch hands. Mm-hmm. But before then, was there another reason to touch hands? I would imagine maybe a fist bump.
Well, yeah, wasn't it? It was arms, right? You'd grab each other's arms.
So I guess thought that was just like in warrior movies that they
did
that.
Yeah, I thought that was like a Celtic shit or something. Yeah, that's crazy. No say. For Halloween, speaking of the African American community, for Halloween, I was Franklin from Peanuts.
He was
the only black character in Peanuts, right? And you know, the history comes, right? Charles Schulz wanted to make a African-American character, but he didn't want to come off as condescending or anything, right? So he never did it. After Martin Luther King died, he was written by a school teacher saying the world needs integration more than ever, right? So okay. Franklin was a result of that, right? And in his very first comic, Charlie Brown loses his ball at the beach and Franklin gives it back to him and they proceed to build castles together. That was important because back in the day, blacks and whites could not be in the same beaches, right? But somehow Franklin finds himself in the same beach. They couldn't swim with each other. And he finds himself in the same beach and gives Charlie Brown his ball back, right? And over the years, Franklin was in the comics, right? Franklin was the greatest student, super nice to everybody, just didn't do anything wrong. And a lot of people thought Franklin was very bland. There was no personality to him. Everything was just perfect about him, right? And that being the case, right, the animated series, oops, sorry, I just hit my mic if you guys heard that. The animated series does not do that. So when Franklin comes into the scene, he's either breakdancing or fucking rapping. And then, like, when all the other kids just walk past Charlie Brown, Franklin actually daps him up. So they played through all the fucking stereotypes in the animated series. And the whole time, right, I was in the Coca-Cola store and they're like, do you know how to do Franklin's dance? And I was like, God damn it.
Wow.
That was the prevailing question I got. Then we saw a depressed middle-aged...
Did you do the dance though?
No, I don't know what dance they're referring to. He does so many dances and break dances, so I don't know. And we saw a depressed 40-year-old, middle-aged Charlie Brown going down the stairs, and I couldn't catch him. Denise and I, she was dressed as Lucy, and I was dressed as Franklin.
Oh, that would have been cool.
And Charlie Brown passed on an escalator away from us, and we're just like, Charlie Brown! But yeah, the whole high five story just reminded me of the dapping up of Franklin. He just daps up Charlie Brown.
Mm-hmm. So I guess in the same vein of the World Series, with a winner comes a loser, right? Edwin, would you like to speak on how Philadelphia became the first ever city to lose two championships in one day?
You could take the first part. I just got done talking. You know, I need a breather.
I mean, there's not much to say. Well, Philly lost the World Series and the final to the MLS against LAFC.
Okay, so LAFC. Let's talk about LAFC real quick. They signed Gareth Bale.
Yeah, I had no idea, dude. I saw the promotional material after they won. I'm like, wait, is that Gareth Bale in the fucking picture of the team?
Gareth Bale has been known to be the clutchest player for Real Madrid. He was just super fucking clutch, right? But during his later years in Real Madrid, he fell out with a lot of coaches. He just really fell out with everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he just decided to play golf. And in one famous interview, he says, my priorities are Wales, golf, then Real Madrid. And Real Madrid was like, man, fuck you. So they kind of just sold him off, right? They stopped playing him. He just dedicated himself to golf, and that's
hell
it,
yeah.
Right? That's it. He was getting a fat paycheck from Real Madrid for playing golf. In comes LAFC and says, hey, come to the MLS. You'll get your fat paycheck, right? And he goes, all right, but you got to have two things clear here. I'm only going so I can get fit for the World Cup. That's it. I'm gonna use your facilities as a gym while you pay me all that money. LAFC said, bet.
Say less.
So they fucking took him. And he had been this whole season, the very initial season that he was there, during the beginning of his tenure there, he was actually scoring. He was looking like Gareth Bale. Somewhere along the lines, he becomes disgruntled and stops contributing. Okay. This game for the championship goes super late. And past regulation, four of the goals that are scored in that game happen after regulation time in overtime.
Oh, okay.
And it's looking like it's going to go to penalties. And all of the other prior MLS Cups in the past recent years have gone to penalties. And it's looking like this one's going to go to penalties. But in comes Gareth Bale. It's a long shot. They throw him in there. And what does he do? He scores the winning goal to give LAFC their very first championship.
Yeah, worth.
So, yeah, all that money they paid him to golf and work out paid off, I guess, for LAFC.
And no poles were climbed in the city of Philadelphia that day.
What a fucking story, right?
So two Philadelphia teams basically lost championships the same day?
Is that never, never happened before in the history of sports where a city loses two championships in the same day.
Yeah. It was looking like Philly was just going to sweep, right? But even in the MLS game, Philly was the better team. But yeah, if you guys could see any highlights to that game, it's probably one of the best MLS games that's ever been played. It's kind of scary how good it is.
I mean, Philadelphia can't be upset though. They still got the Eagles. They're 8-1. So yeah.
That's true. I guess since we've been gone, the Philadelphia Eagles have finally lost a game. They just lost it today.
I watched that game. The first game I watched. Sorry, Eagles fans. I guess it was my fault. I decided to watch a game.
You know
what? Did they lose against?
the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, they got a name now, dude. They're no longer the Washington football team. I found that interesting. I didn't know that they were given a name already. But yeah, they lost to the Washington Commanders.
Who were 4-5 before the game started.
I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles are doing just fine. The Lakers, however, are currently shitting the bed. They're currently 3-10. They'd be 2-11 if it weren't for like a miracle three-pointer that sent it to overtime against the Pelicans like last week or two. But yeah, the sports world, lots of stuff has been happening. Very, very cool. So let's talk a little bit about social media now, because this has been something that I wish I would have kept more up to date on, but it's just like, it feels like there's just always something going on. But it's basically about Twitter. As far as I know, an $8 a month for a blue check mark. Mm-hmm. Companies losing billions of dollars and basically their stock going down because of fake tweets from people paying the $8 a month to verify themselves and basically pretend to be X company. And apparently thousands of people being let go and then rehired? What the hell's going on there?
So you guys know what's going on? Go back. Let's start at the beginning, right? Elon Musk bought Twitter. And then he said, nah, I don't want this. And they were like, what the fuck? You bought this. This is yours. And he's like, but I don't want it. You guys lied to me about bots or whatever. I
don't want it. Yeah.
So they sue him. And the lawsuit was going to go through. But then last minute he said, fuck it, I'll just buy the damn company then. To avoid the lawsuit. So he buys the company. And the company is hemorrhaging money when he gets there. So like, I guess we gotta make money. Let's throw a $20 verification. And Stephen King tweeted out, $20 is ridiculous. Why would anyone fucking pay this? I'm out of here. And then Elon Musk was like, but what about... He literally replied to his tweet was like, what about $8?
We have to pay the bills, he says. Yeah. We have to pay the bills. What about $8, dude? He begged.
Yeah.
Can I interest you in $8?
$8. I know $20 is a lot, but what about $8?
Yeah, I seen an interview where he's just like, why are people so... Like, I'm paraphrasing, but basically saying like... the price of a Starbucks coffee.
Yep. He tweeted that out. A lot of people were criticizing that tweet because he's basically shitting on a potential advertiser and a whole nother revenue stream.
True.
So yeah, so $8 becomes the settlement to what is verification. And you know, Elon Musk comes in and says, oh, Twitter, free speech. That's all it is. It's free speech. You know, we're gonna let you say whatever the hell you want, because it's free speech. So obviously the internet happened. I'm not gonna, y'all can guess out there what happened. So the moderators had to step up and get rid of all of that. And then,
oh yeah, weren't there people even impersonating Elon himself?
Yeah, that's nice. that's what happened afterwards. So he basically says anyone can pay for verification. So people were like, well, won't people just imitate, like pretend to be other people? He's like, no, that won't happen. We'll make sure it doesn't happen. So the $8 gets introduced, and what happens? People start pretending to be other people.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So everyone starts pretending. All comedians switch their name to Elon Musk, and they get banned because, you know, he got his fifis hurt.
True.
But then the obscure people didn't get banned. So we had someone imitating the owner of a major manufacturer of insulin, and they basically tweeted out, hey, from here on out, insulin is free. And people believed it.
So that, like, was one of the companies that, like, their stock tanked, right?
Yeah, the next day their stock tanked. But the big one that got the most, I guess the most publicity, was someone with the handle King James Jams, right? LeBron's handle, but misspelled, tweeted out, I have just requested a transfer. Thank you, but I'm going back home. Hashtag, you know, Cleveland, hashtag whatever the fuck.
From Akron or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. So everyone was like, what the fuck? LeBron's leaving. And this got picked up by like ESPN and a bunch of other shit before people were like, oh, wait, this is fake.
This is fake, yeah.
Yeah, so hilarity ensued.
Yeah. And so what the hell is going to happen to Twitter? Is it a dead platform now? Or is it just where the memes go?
It seems like Elon just did it because he had to, and now he's just trying to save any money he can.
And what a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, he's losing money every day, and so maybe he just wants to kill it fast and make as much as he can before it's dead?
Kinda. Well, that, this is all...
I wonder what the whole...
You know, assumptions.
Because he fired a bunch of people because they were expendable, right? Like, they were contributing to the debt.
Yeah, he made them print. He made them print out their lines of code to see who was contributing the most to the company. He made them print them out, and then eventually, when the paper cost was getting to be too much, he said, "Stop printing them out. We're just gonna fucking see who's made the most code for Twitter." Mm-hmm. And then he started firing people based on their length of code, but.
He fired talented people that he later realized, oh shit, we still need these people, and basically begged them to come back.
Yeah. And one of the things that he defended, the $8 cost, he said, if people want to be trolls, it's going to cost them money. So Twitter wins. Twitter comes out on top. What he failed to realize is that sponsors and big ass companies that have a huge presence on Twitter, we're going to lose them so much more than the $8 that a troll has to pay to fucking troll.
Yeah, I think he failed to maybe realize, like, or at least remember and recognize that the reason why GameStop stock went up so high was because people were totally, they were down, even if they were to lose money, as long as big fucking rich corporations would lose millions and millions of dollars, people were down to lose a little bit of money just to fuck them over. So I think this is just another one of those examples of like, yeah, like $8 is like, lol, we win. Like, you know, trolls want to pay us money to troll. Lol, get wrecked.
Well, here's the biggest kicker. It was up for like maybe more than a day, and it was since removed because there was too much trolls and too much impersonation happening.
Yeah, yeah, it's so obvious it was going to happen. I mean, he's a troll himself. I wonder why he didn't, like, think this would happen.
Dude, at one point, there was two check marks. When it first got deployed, there was two check marks. And people were shitting on Elon, like, why are there two check marks? So he had the other one removed, right? Because it was like, you're verified because you're actually a person. And the other one was because you paid for it. So people had two check marks. And then they got rid of the first check mark because people were flaming him. And then they got rid of the other one and introduced the first one back.
Yeah, I hope the people who got rehired were like hard asses and basically asked for like a significant raise to go back.
100%. They deserve it. Fuck Elon.
I won't go that far, but homie's making some questionable shit.
There you go. Fuck Elon. I'll say it again. The whole reason why his family's rich is because of apartheid. So, fuck Elon.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Fuck Elon then.
Hey, whoa. If Elon hears this, I didn't say that.
Well, fuck Elon. What's he gonna do? So there's a video, just recently, that posted in China, I think, Tesla loses control, right? But it since has come to light. So this guy tries to pull over, right? And his Tesla just starts speeding up, and he kills, three people along with himself in his Tesla because he's just going really fucking fast because his car, quote-unquote, loses control. People started blaming Tesla over it, and they checked the logs on the car. This guy got confused, and instead of pressing the brake, he was accelerating the whole time and kills himself.
Common mistake.
By confusion.
By confusion. Makes it sound like he used
a Pokemon. He hurt itself in his confusion.
Yeah.
Like, that shit... is insanity, dude. How do you, like, this is probably like a very inexperienced driver or a very old person. I don't remember. I don't know exactly his age, but like, that is crazy.
Yeah, something I've never understood about Tesla is how have all these, there's been so many incidences of like either the autopilot going off or a car is burning because of the battery or now this, where some, you know, like somebody was driving a Tesla. Maybe it was driver error, but it just seems like there's so many lives lost and Tesla still exists. Like, it's kind of weird. I don't know how all that works. And maybe there's settlements. Maybe there is court cases going on that I'm not aware of, but it just seems so weird that, Tesla's able to continue making these cars, and there's been so many unfortunate tragedies.
It's that thing that we forgo little liberties, little rights for convenience. You know what I'm saying? There's some things that we forgo just for the sake of convenience.
Yep. And I guess segueing into, you know, like company mismanaging and stock going down and crazy shit happening. Hasbro has been making the rounds on the news cycle the past couple of days. And for those who don't know, Hasbro owns Wizards of the Coast, which basically creates Dungeons and Dragons and Magic the Gathering trading cards.
And Pokemon, am I wrong?
No, they don't produce those cards anymore.
They don't do Pokemon anymore? Okay.
Nah. Yeah, so they're basically... Hasbro's going viral because they're ruining Magic. And I forget the exact numbers and the amount of time, but I do remember there was this one graphic that was showing, like, Hasbro wants to double their profits in this amount of span of years. I forget what it was. And Magic is basically, if you can imagine, one of the greatest, like, tabletop? So Magic the Gathering is probably the most popular trading card game, but you can imagine the profit margin that you make when you're selling cardboard rectangles.
Yeah, for $1.50 a pack.
And so, like, you're printing on cardboard and people are paying hundreds and hundreds of dollars for just boxes of cards, you know? So Magic accounts for 15% of Hasbro's sales. And so that alone is already pretty big because Hasbro is a giant ass company. And the reason why Hasbro has been having some trouble with Magic and the consumer base for Magic is that they're printing way too many cards. So it's a very weird thing that what's going on in Magic the Gathering right now, because you would think, like, if it's so popular, like, you know, you just print more cards and more people will buy them. The problem is that there's way too many SKUs. So I don't, like, we, the three of us, we quit Magic.
Wait a second.
Especially paper Magic.
Here's an aside, though.
Okay.
I've recently discovered the joys of Secret Lair. Not discovered, but have actually pursued sets of Secret Lair cards, right? Secret Lair is their premium collector editions of certain brands that they partner with, or, you know, they're just special prints of cards that are already existing, or they don't exist, but you could use them in one format or the other, right? And
yeah,
to be specific, right, I got the Street Fighter version of their collaboration, and I got the Arcane one, the League of Legends one. Now, what you're saying is this Secret Lair part of the Magic the Gathering universe is actually also being detrimental to the main product.
It's another SKU.
So they have a shit ton of Secret Lairs are coming out, which is a whole another problem in and of itself, because basically what I don't want to go super into minute details, but imagine Magic printing specific cards with alternate arts and then basically screwing over the secondhand market, because people who own these cards, like, okay, some of them are new, like these Street Fighter cards and et cetera, but there's a lot of cards that are reprints, and basically Wizards of the Coast is like, we're going to actually be the ones selling you the cards and we're going to charge you secondhand market prices for these cards. So it hurts the secondhand market, and it hurts your local game stores or your LGSs, and it's basically like Wizards of the Coast saying you're buying the cards directly from us now instead of going to your local game store to buy packs of whatever to hopefully open the card you want. So anyways,
isn't that happening with Ticketmaster as well? Aren't they charging scalper prices from the get-go so that...
Yeah, I mean, that could be from, COVID or them just realizing that they can get away with this kind of shit.
It's that, and then they own the venues. It's a whole thing with them.
Yeah, but so for Magic, there are too many SKUs. So, for example, the Brothers War set that's about to release, or actually already released, you have...
Reprint sets.
Yeah, so you have basically... You have Brothers War box of booster packs, right? Mm-hmm. You have a draft box. You have a jumpstart. You have a collector's box. You have starter decks.
Commander decks.
You have
deck builder stool boxes.
Yep. So
fat packs.
Yep. So, well, you can't call them fat packs anymore. Whoa.
I'm shaming cardboard. Yeah. Fat shaming the card box.
So, can you understand kind of what the problem is here? You have in the draft boxes, you have all these, you know, they're supposed to be used for draft. Okay, cool. In the collector's boxes, you have...
They've thrown off their fine balance that they had before. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. So they're printing, like, if there's a card, there might be now
four or five
variations of the exact same card now, because they decided to... do like, oh, these are stained glass now. Oh, these are foil. Oh, these are foil stained glass cards. Oh, these are serialized cards, which is something that they just brought in as like a big, huge, like, whale thing. Like, hey, guys, don't you guys want these cards that have a number from 1 to 500? You know you want them. So, anyways.
They created inflation for their product.
They've basically been printing out they've been reprinting and creating so many cards and SKUs that people are kind of fed up with it. And funny enough, and one of their latest, what is it called when they talk to their stockholders?
Shareholders meeting?
Yeah, it's like one of those kind of things. They basically said that the clients, that the consumer is price sensitive. Oh boy, the internet.
What does that even mean?
The internet and the Magic the Gathering community went up in arms because they're basically being told like, oh, they're price sensitive. Like they're price. When you're price sensitive, it basically means like it's too expensive, so I can't buy it because I can't afford it, or I don't want to buy it at that price.
Yes.
Okay. So basically, instead of them realizing that they're printing so many SKUs and so many different products, they're basically blaming the consumer for the reason why sales are down.
Yeah, it's because you can't afford them.
And Hasbro's stock has fallen 44%, and the CFO basically retired on a day that Hasbro stock reached its record low. And there is a lot of stuff happening around Magic the Gathering, and it's very interesting. It's very, very interesting because all these things kind of seem obvious, maybe, but at the same time, we're not really like in Wizards of the Coast to know like what are the pressures that like, you know, Papa Hasbro's putting on them, because
money, it's always
they want to make more money. And they're printing money because they're printing cardboard pieces of nerds. Yeah. And with that being said, I may have made a cute little mistake.
Oh, okay.
I wake up on November 1st, right? Any other day, I'm just like, oh, whatever, you know, I woke up, I'm going to go to work, you know, I start work at 9. I go on my phone, and I go on Safari to look up something. I can't even remember what it is. And I open it, and I'm on the Secret Lair's website for Magic. And I was like, oh, yeah, I was looking this up last week. Like, it says that it's available, and this is the 30th anniversary Secret Lair. And
oh my god, no you did not.
And so I was like, I'll add it to my cart. Like, there's no way. Like, this is probably already sold out. I don't even know when this released or what day or what time. Like, I'll just click it. I'm in like a queue, and it's like a 5-minute queue. And I'm like, I could wait 5 minutes just to see if this goes through. And then it goes through, and I'm like, there's no way. Nah, this will probably like bug out or something. So I check out as a guest, and I wait a little bit. I'm like, you know, this, there it is. See, look, it's about to crash. I'm not going to get it. It's sold out. All right, whatever. And then it's like, oh, how would you like to pay? And I'm like, oh, I guess I could go PayPal. Like, you know, it's not going to work. And so I enter my PayPal information, cool beans. I'm about to check out. I'm like, nah, there's no way. There's no way. And so I hit pay, and it goes through, and I'm like, huh.
So when did cards arrive?
Holy shit.
So I paid $150 for 30 cards, so.
So just so the people out there know, these cards are all randomized, right?
I don't know if they're randomized. It's supposed to be a set where 30 cards, because 30 years of Magic, and every card is like individually packaged with a year on it, and it's supposed to be a card to represent that year, and it's all alternate art and 30% chance to be foil. And anyways,
yeah, so I think these are all random, and they're not even, you can't even use them.
So no, these are real cards.
These are real cards, but they're not tournament legal.
Wait, why not?
Because they said so. If you pull,
you're thinking about the 30th anniversary proxies. Those are $250 a pack.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And they come in fours, so you have to pay $1,000 plus tax. And those are all proxies that are actually fake cards, but they're supposed to give you
fake cards.
They're supposed to give you the illusion of opening alpha and beta packs, like as if you were back in 1993, 1994, and you have a chance at a Black Lotus, which for those who don't know is a card that sells for tens of thousands of dollars if it were real. But these are just proxy cards. Yeah, you're thinking about the 30th anniversary packs. This is a 30th anniversary secret lair.
So if Wizards of the Coast is listening, this is your problem right here. I don't know what the hell any of your products are anymore.
Yeah.
So let me I had a similar experience to Frantic, but I did not pull the trigger. And now that I've opened the Secret Lair website, I am devastated to tell you that the Junji Ito version of Secret Lair, their collaboration. Junji Ito is a manga, horror manga, like, guy. He makes Uzumaki. It's like, that's his most famous novel or whatever.
Okay.
He had a collaboration with them, and it's no longer available. Now, I'm sad as fuck about it, but at the same time, glad I did not pay $40 for four cards. Now,
this is cardboard, people.
They also had a special guest, Yoji Shinkawa, who is a lot more closer to my heart than Junji Ito. Yoji Shinkawa is the artist for Metal Gear Solid. And they had, I just recently purchased a single card that existed that was a collaboration with Shinkawa and Magic the Gathering. I purchased a card for $3 foil that was their only existing collaboration. Now, Secret Lair had four more cards, and they also are no longer available.
Yeah, you could probably buy them in a second hand later.
So, yeah, that card shop that we used to go to in Riverside.
I went there once.
They have a lot of the Secret Lair things, so you just have to ask them because it's not something that they advertise. So I might just go get the Shinkawa ones, but at the same time, god damn it.
Yeah, man. I bought like top loaders and everything. I'm like, oh, when I open these cards, I'm about to put them in a protector sleeve and everything. Like,
you got a double sleeve top load?
I feel like I'm regressing, to be honest.
Well, what are you
going
to
do? It's kind of strange.
The thing is, these are a collector's item.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I'll hold on to them because, I mean, one of the things why I bought it, one of the reasons was because, you know, I quit Magic and, like, I sold all my cards and, like, I said never again. This was kind of just like, let's see if it happens, if it does, cool, if it doesn't, whatever. I'm thinking to myself, well, this is kind of just like my last hurrah. Like, oh, you know, like 30 years of Magic, 30 cards, and, it'll just be something that I can look at and be like, yeah, this was part of my history.
30 years of Magic. We played for 10 insane. Of those.
Yeah, it's insane. But the reason why I feel like I regressed was because, like, I'm buying I'm buying Magic cards. I'm playing Hearthstone again after, like, a year hiatus. I just don't know. I don't know what's going on.
Well, if you're having fun, it's not time wasted.
Yeah, maybe I just played, like, too much, like, New World and, like, other games that I was kind of like, maybe I just want to sit back and play a card game, you know? Like, something chill, just sit back. I don't know.
Speaking of regressing, I regressed to Overwatch, and it is a miserable existence. I don't know why I stay, but the highs are highs, and the lows are lows. And this is a very toxic relationship for my well-being, They release cool skins that are each $20 to $30.
Yeah. But no real chance of unlocking them through a loot box or something, which we all hated, but now kind of wish they were back.
Dude, loot boxes were the bane of everyone's existence back in the day. It was ridiculous. And now we have been fully shafted. And it's kind of like people missing George Bush. That's what happened. Oh, jeez. That's what I could attribute this to.
It's like loot boxes were fucking trash. And we've talked about how fucking predatory they are. But if we had loot boxes compared to what we have now in Overwatch 2, where you have to, it's like, all right, well, if you guys don't want to like randomly unlock them with these loot boxes and you think it's unfair, then all right, how about we just let you buy the skins straight up? And the skins are the costs of like games, basically. The entire game. So isn't there a $40 reward? Is there a $40 skin? Or a bundle?
Just recently, yeah.
Yeah.
There's literally no reward if you don't pay anything, right? If you don't pay a single dime, there is nothing keeping you there unless you care about
the gameplay.
Just rank. Like, the gameplay has always been fun, right? But even then, the gameplay is very samey. Like, because of the new structure that the game has, it's very steamrolly. It's very steamroll heavy.
Yeah, if you have a good team, you'll just wipe them and go and win.
Well, the thing is, every game is either you get steamrolled or you steamroll. That's it. That's every single game. There's been very few close ones, right? And I think that's very telling of what the structure of the game is, right?
I mean, if it means anything, whenever I watch streamers play it, there are good games. So maybe you're just stuck in Elo hell.
So
could be people, yeah, grinding the ranks.
Well, here's the thing, right? I ranked into Bronze 5 as soon as I got into a rank, right? And it was very obvious I don't belong there, right? So I got out of there and made it to Silver 2, right? This entire time, I think I was only in Bronze for like a total of 2 hours. I think I've played 40 hours since then of Overwatch, and I am at Silver 2. So,
okay. Damn, you'd be Grandmaster if it wasn't for your teammates.
No, I've been Silver 2. Okay, so they have a new system, right? The new system is if you get to 7 wins, your rank updates. Or if you get to 20 losses, your rank updates. Whatever comes first is going to update your rank. In the meantime, you don't know your rank, right?
Interesting.
So you start at Silver 2, right? You play until you get 7 wins or 20 losses.
Imagine going 6-20. God, that must be miserable.
Then it updates, right? Mine has been going, I'm at Silver 2. I get 7 wins. My new rank is Silver 2.
Congrats.
And that's been 40 hours of my existence playing Overwatch. I think I'm fucking crazy. It updated. I think my rank has been updated a total of like 10 to 12 times. And I'm still at Silver 2. And every single time it updates, I hope for something different. And it's a Silver 2. And I close the game.
I mean... I've seen plenty of people level up, Edwin. I hate to tell you, maybe that's just your rank, man.
I mean, you watch professional players play. I mean,
Edwin's saying that he's getting 7 wins, which would equate to ranking up. Yeah, but he's saying that he keeps winning 7 games and it keeps him at rank.
Well, are you winning 7 games in a row?
I am not losing 20 games.
Well, how many games are you losing in those 7 wins is what I'm asking.
So I have like a 52% win rate-ish, and that's like, good. That's what you should have in a ranked game.
Yeah, you should rank up, yeah.
You should theoretically rank up, but I've been at Silver 2 this whole time.
That's not how it works, though.
Oh, well,
what do you mean?
In any ladder game, you want to have like, I think like Magic, you have to have like at least a 55% win rate to actually be able to advance.
If a game is ranking system is working correctly, it wants to keep you at a 50% win rate, because mm-hmm. either you're too good or you're not that good, right? And that's how it accurately puts you where you belong.
And right? It sounds like you're still at about 50%, so there's no incentive to move you up.
Yeah. So I mean, that's what I've been saying, that my entire existence in Overwatch has been stagnant for 40 hours, and I don't know if I'm enjoying myself anymore. I haven't touched it in about 2 weeks. So,
oh, so you're saying your rank stays the same. You're not getting new cosmetics unless you pay for the battle pass. Yep, you're not really getting any feeling of progression. So you're kind of just like playing and thinking like, why am I doing
this? Why am I here? I enjoy the characters. I think they're great. I love every healer in that game. It's just, it doesn't feel like anything. I feel like I'm just fucking playing and getting off. And to some, no, actually, that's not why we play video games at all. To have no progression of any sort, it's just not, it's anti-game in general.
You gotta have that sense of pride and accomplishment, man.
It's either you're money. Getting progression or you're creating memories with friends. I think that's the only real reasons to play games.
Yeah. So it's been a very depressing existence with Overwatch. But I still turn it on every once in a while just to...
Hey, man, everyone has their masochist phase. There was days where like, you know what? I'm having too good of a day. Let me open up Hearthstone. You know? That was me back then.
All right, well, I think we've rambled long enough. It's basically what we've been up to, folks, since we've been gone. I'm sure there's a lot of other little details here and there that were missed, but basically our update. We are going back to our scheduled programmed Wednesday episodes, so stay tuned for that.
I was hoping you'd say your scheduled. Because regularly program scheduled is the
yeah I might have misspoken, but I fixed it somewhere. Maybe
I was hoping.
Yeah, but any last words for those who made it all the way to the end?
Keep on keeping on.
I mean, yeah, you said it. We're gonna be back, and I hope people enjoy this pod. That we're back.
Yeah. Holidays are also coming up, so yeah. And should be fun. This is my favorite time of the year.
Yeah, hell keep yeah, on dude. No nutting, everyone.
Thanksgiving is in 2 weeks. Or like a week and a half, huh?
Yeah. Shit. The time is flying for real.
For real, dude.
For real on God.
And we know what happens after triple N November.
Oh.
The what? Triple D December.
Destroy Dick December.
Jesus Christ. All right. Well, with
that image.
With that. Brings us to the end of the episode.
You can reach us at our website, tiltednotstirred.com, or at our Instagram. You can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, and YouTube.
Remember to join us to share your questions and voice your thoughts on what has you tilted. Not stirred.
See ya.
It's kind of, we talked about Magic a lot, and I think it's what intrinsically what who we are, and I think it's pretty cool.
I never stopped loving the game, damn it.
I like shinies. Fuck that guy. And fuck Elon.